Here we are enjoying a normal Minnesota summer. You never know what you're going to wake up to. But we've got to enjoy every bit of summer that we have because there is winter. I think I mentioned this before. When we were down in Alabama, I was always amused because they reverse the process. They enjoy the winter and hate the summer because it's 100, 110 degrees down there, and the humidity is, dew point is 70. By the time we left in March, the dew point was 70, and it's just awful. And they use air conditioning instead of heat for most of the year. A couple of announcements I'd like you to take a look at. First of all, there's an insert in your bulletin regarding the prayer and praise service on Saturday, this coming Saturday evening at North Star Church. This is the first in our area of churches combining together just to honor the Lord. From what I understand, it's going to be prayer and praise, and I think they have a person who's going to be giving their own testimony. And so we'll enjoy this first one, and then I'll be working with the group to put together some other ones in our area. Also on that list is a Side Lake Community Center similar service on July 5th, and the description for that is on the back. I don't know any more than that, but it sounds like a little bit more than just a service. It sounds like a picnic or something. And then on July 30th, the Iron Range Renewal, the same group is going to be doing the St. Louis County Fair. And then, of course, the All Church Sunday Labor Day weekend. So take a look at that. Joel Anderson will be the worship leader this Saturday night. If you know him, and what we did as pastors is provide to the coordinator at North Star our list of prayer points, things that we need to pray about for our area of the country. Today, in our offering time, we'll also be taking an offering for Covenant Kids Congo. Thank you to Gail and Roger. For correcting that in my mistake in the bulletin. And then I need to announce that on Sunday, and explain this a little bit, I apologize. On Sunday, June 29th, after the morning service, we're going to have a special congregational meeting. I'm going to try to put this in the short form, and you can ask me questions later. We received a notice from Church Mutual that they required that we put on a new roof on the church and the parsonage. And if not, they're going to cancel the policy December something or other. So we have rolled up our sleeves and gotten bids from half a dozen roofing companies in the area. And so we'll need to make a decision about doing it. If there's preferences, and you can think about this between now and then, preferences for company and cost, because we got bids from most of them by now, and how to pay for it. The short story, probably how to pay for it, take it out of our savings fund, get a loan from Covenant Trust, combination of those two, I guess, and there might be other options too that I can't think of right now. So if you'd prepare yourself for that meeting and plan to attend, that would be helpful. And we would invite everyone to attend, members or not, because it affects all of us. So please put that on your calendar if you will. I think that's the announcements. So if you would turn to page 795, and we will open our service with the call to worship from Psalm 29. And if you would stand with me, we will be reading responsively the first section and the response, so not the middle section. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings.
Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name.
Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
And then drop down to the bottom of the page. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. May the Lord give strength to his people.
May the Lord bless his people in peace.
Turn to 272.
We're going to have a little bit of mix of music today, some a cappella, but this one is on the hymn machine. On Pentecost, they gather.
On Pentecost they gathered quite early in the day, a band of Christ's disciples to worship, sing, and pray. A mighty wind came blowing, filled all the swirling air, and tongues of fire aglowing inspired each person there. The people all around them were startled and amazed to understand their language as Christ the Lord they praised. What universal message, what great good news was here, that Christ once dead is risen to vanquish all our fear. God pours the Holy Spirit on all who would believe, on women, men, and children who would God's grace receive. That Spirit knows no limit, bestowing life and power. The church, once for reforming, responds in every hour. O Spirit sent from heaven on that day long ago, rekindle faith among us in all life's ebb and flow. O give us ears to listen and tongues aflame with praise, so folk of every nation glad songs of joy shall raise. I often get surprised by the amen. Our Father, we just come to you this morning grateful to be here, grateful to be alive, and grateful that you are our God and Jesus is our Lord. We are also grateful that that throughout the earth your word is going forth, saving souls and helping all of us who are believers to step forth and add to our strength, add to our life your spirit and your life. And so we glorify you and thank you for this opportunity to join together here in this church, but also with believers all throughout the world to glorify your name. Through Jesus, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Our first scripture reading today is the whole chapter of Psalm 8. And that's on page 407 of the pew Bible. And this is written by David. I was like, yeah, bad. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands, and you put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And our second reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, and it's on page 860. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us.
Turn to 630. This is a covenant song written by Richard Carlson. We're going to sing it a cappella because it's not on the hymn machine. But beautiful song. And the tune is actually Axelson, which is a very covenant name with the seminary. For the end. Got a lot of different a cappella songs today. So, but that's not one of them. Okay, I gotta get my. Called to serve unreserved, I want to be like Jesus, living water flowing free, quenching thirst, washing feet. I want to be like Jesus. May God's will be fulfilled. I want to be like Jesus, choosing life in Christ alone, not
not my will, but his own. I want to be like Jesus. Yielded heart, set apart. I want to be like Jesus. Seeking God's priorities, so the world clearly sees. I want to be like Jesus, working toward heaven's reward. I want to be like Jesus, service done in Jesus' name, for the lost to reclaim. I want to be like Jesus.
I'm going to sing a couple of beautiful covenant hymns today, as Jeffrey has mentioned. Just want you to take a note. I'll just point to this one directly, and then you'll see it again later. This hymn shows the pietistic heart of the early covenant movement. I want to be like Jesus. That relationship with Jesus is so important. Also, keep your hymnals handy, because during the offering we're going to be singing another song as well. Could I ask the ushers to come forward at this time, please? We're receiving an offering, like I mentioned, also for Covenant Kids Congo. Barb will be following Brian around for that offering. Let's pray together. We thank you once again, Father, for all of your goodness to us. Every breath that we breathe, every moment that you give us life and the eternal life hereafter, we give you thanks and glory. And so we would ask that you would receive our gifts back to you and honor them for your service and for your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.
282, while we're doing the offering. O Holy Spirit. O Holy Spirit, breathe on me. O Holy Spirit, breathe on me. And cleanse away my sin. Fill me with love within. O Holy Spirit, breathe on me. O Holy Spirit, fill my life. O Holy Spirit, fill my life. Take all my pride from me. Give me humility. O Holy Spirit, breathe on me. O Holy Spirit, make me new. O Holy Spirit, make me new. Make Jesus real to me. Give me his purity. O Holy Spirit, breathe on me. O Holy Spirit, wind of God. O Holy Spirit, wind of God. Give me your power today to live for you always. O Holy Spirit, breathe on me.
Let's stand and sing together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's pray. Because of Jesus, we kneel before you, Father. You, who are the source of all life, every person, every family on earth. And from you and your name, we derive life. We pray that your glorious riches may strengthen us and strengthen all of your people with the power that has come through your giving of your Holy Spirit into us and upon us, so that your Son Jesus, Jesus the Christ, may live in us through our own faith and live out of us in our own actions. Ground us, root us, establish us in your love, so that together with all of your people, all of God's holy people, as the book of Revelation calls us, we may be able to get a hold of, as your word says, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know that love that actually surpasses knowledge, believing in you. Our prayer is that you would work in us so that we would be able to be filled to the full measure of who you are and all that you are. We pray today for our community service people, for our military workers, our law enforcement workers, teachers, first responders, healthcare workers, our chaplains, social workers, other people in our communities who are serving people. We ask that you'd guide them and protect them and especially give them an extra measure of grace in the situations that they run into that are often difficult and challenging. We pray for Covenant Park Bible Camp. Today is the start of the first camp of the summer. And it's senior high kids. We acknowledge, our Father, that these kids are important to you. They're on the stepping stone of becoming adults. And so we pray that you would really get a hold of their hearts. And in addition to that, ground them deep in their faith as they head into the challenges of adulthood. Be with the workers, the staff, the volunteers,
so that they may sense your presence and be able to minister for you with effective results. And then we would join Carl and Sue Peterson for their request for their ministry in Mexico, and in fact for your work in Mexico, as our missionaries have acknowledged to us that the church in Mexico is in turmoil. And so what they've asked us to agree with them in prayer for, and what we pray for then, is for unity amongst your people, resulting in church health, so that when the people of Mexico see that unity, they may acknowledge you and honor you because of it. We know, Father, that's going to take healing. It's going to take wisdom. It's going to take mutual respect. It's going to take a degree of humility amongst your people. And so we would ask that you'd work by your Holy Spirit toward those ends. And Father, as we close, we want to thank you that when we pray according to your word, we know that we have the requests that we ask for. And so we will close by giving you thanks that you will conquer, you will perform your work to your glory. Through the name of Jesus, amen.
Turn to 275. In the midst of the horrific tragedy yesterday and factions in our countries and in our country and the wars all around, we still have the Holy Spirit that is with us and guides us. We're going to sing this a cappella.
Spirit, Spirit of gentleness, blow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, Spirit of restlessness, stir me from placidness, wind on the sea. You move on the waters, you call to the deep. Then you coaxed up the mountains from valleys of sleep. And over the eons, you call to each thing. Awake from your slumbers and rise on your wings. Spirit, Spirit of gentleness, blow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, Spirit of restlessness, stir me from placidness, wind on the sea. You swept through the desert, you stung with the sand, and you gifted your people with the law and a land. And where they were blinded with their idols and lies, then you spoke through your prophets to open their eyes. Spirit, Spirit of gentleness, blow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, Spirit of restlessness, stir me from placidness, Wind on the sea, you sang to a stable, you cried from a hill, then you whispered in silence when the whole world was still. And down in the city, you called once again, when you blew through your people on the rush of the wind. Spirit, Spirit of gentleness, blow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, Spirit of restlessness, stir me from placidness. Wind, wind on the sea, you call from tomorrow, you break ancient schemes, from the bondage of sorrow, the captives dream dreams. Our women see visions, our men clear their eyes, with bold new decisions, your people arise. Spirit, Spirit of gentleness, blow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, Spirit of restlessness, stir me from placidness, wind, wind on the sea.
Amen.
Thank you, Jeffrey. It would be an interesting experience if we did a hymn a cappella with me leading it. I do appreciate Jeffrey's giftedness. Today I'm going to do things a little bit different. And you might say, Mike, you're always doing something different. Okay, I'll look at some tips that I have learned over the years about listening to God, hearing His voice, and obeying. In the evangelical and conservative church community, we tend to put very little emphasis on the Holy Spirit. Spend a lot of time talking about Jesus. Spend a lot of time talking about God our Father. Holy Spirit does get mentioned. In some churches, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is actually diminished. It's interesting to me that of all the periods of the Christian church, in the church calendar year, the period of Pentecost is 29 weeks long, three times longer than Christmas or Lent. And there's a reason for that. The reason for that is that after the Holy Spirit came, we spend all our lives living in after Jesus left. He's gone, but he didn't leave us without a comforter. He didn't leave us alone. Those are his words. I'm not going to leave you alone. And it is a mystery. I get that. It's confusing to me sometimes how all this works. But I trust Jesus in what he said, that he was not going to leave us alone. And so the Holy Spirit is really the presence of God and the presence of Jesus until Jesus comes back again. And we think that the ministry is Jesus, and for good reason, because the Holy Spirit is instructed to speak only about Jesus. The scriptures tell us that the Holy Spirit isn't around to announce himself or make a big deal about himself. The Holy Spirit is here to talk about Jesus. The Holy Spirit is here to speak on behalf of Jesus to us. The Holy Spirit is here to bring the words of Jesus to our remembrance. And just by the way, that doesn't include the scripture reference. It's the words of Jesus. And so if it's John 3:16, that's not part of the remembrance, just for some of you who have trouble remembering the reference points of different verses. We're also told in the scriptures that the Holy Spirit is here to glorify Jesus, so when we look at the Holy Spirit, we're instantly reflected to Jesus. And we're also told in the scriptures that the Holy Spirit is here to bring the full power of Jesus into our lives. Those are the things that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. So I want to start in John 16, verse 7, just to remind us, before we look at these practical considerations. John chapter 16, verse 7. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I know in my own life, and probably in your life as well, we have been on some occasions like the disciples. Why are you leaving, Jesus? And Jesus' response to the disciples was, it's to your advantage. And I'm going, no, it is not to my advantage. If you were here today, I could talk with you. I could ask you questions. If we needed somebody to be healed, we would just track you down and call you on the cell phone or send you a text or something. But what Jesus is saying is it is to our advantage that he left. And I don't pretend to fully understand that, to be honest with you. But that's what he said. And if that's what he said, that's what he meant. And so we are living in 2,000 years of history when the activity on this planet is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amazing. Really, truly amazing. And if you think about it, the power of the Holy Spirit is at war on this planet with the spirit of evil. That's the battle that's going on in the world. And we see it every day. Dr. Jeremiah has mentioned several times recently that he just opens the newspaper or watches the news every day, and it just gets to be more somber all the time. There is a war going on, and the spirit of truth and the spirit of power, who we call the Holy Spirit, is at war on this planet for us and for others. From that perspective, I can understand what Jesus said. It is to our advantage that he left, because the Holy Spirit is everywhere. All over the world, fighting this war, fighting for us, helping us, strengthening us, comforting us. So bringing this down into a practical, the Holy Spirit working with me, with you, I have a few premises that I have based my life on. The first one is that God does communicate to his people through his Holy Spirit. God, I believe, is always communicating to Mike, to you, through his Holy Spirit. The radio signal is always going out. The problem I have is whether I have my radio turned on or not. And I don't always have it turned on, and I'm sure you've experienced this, the same thing. The second thing I believe, and I want to read this out of Luke chapter 11, because it is so pointed. Now, this is the passage in Luke chapter 11 where Jesus is talking with his disciples, and he's saying, if you're fathers, would you give your snake to a kid instead of a fish? And following up that, in verse 13, he summarizes it. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? One little word in there that I have read over, just gone past it, didn't even notice it was there, that I noticed when I was studying this week, and that word is how. God knows how to communicate to Mike. God knows how to communicate to you. And the reason I mention that is he communicates with each of us individually, uniquely, incredibly. Every single believer gets communicated with differently. What incredible power, wisdom, grace of God through the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. That is amazing. How many millions of people on this planet that are believers, and each of us get our own individual text message from God or email or whatever the case may be. He knows how to communicate to each of us. And so, as I've mentioned before, I have to have my radio on. I've got to be listening. I've got to be listening for the signal. But there's also one more step, and that I have to be listening to the signal. So if I'm watching TV and I get distracted on something else, I'm not listening to the program. I may be listening for the program, but I'm not listening to the program. So I have to have my radio turned on, but then I've got to focus on what God is trying to tell me. These two things, listening for God and listening to God, were the problems that the Israelites eventually had, which Jesus pointed out, especially to the religious leaders. You're not listening for God, and when you do, you're not listening to him. You're off on another mission, page, challenge, adventure, fun, enjoyment, whatever it is. But the third thing was that the Israelites had gotten so bad, had so gotten so far from God, that they actually said, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to turn the radio on. I just don't want to hear it. And when Jesus came around and ministered the truth to them, they said, blah, 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 blah. I don't want to hear it. I just don't want to hear it. And eventually, of course, they got mad at him and killed him. So now, some practical tips from Mike's life of trying to hear the word of God to me. Before I do that, I should mention that the word of God to us is individual. I already mentioned that before, but I want to highlight that it's individual because we are all in different circumstances and we all need individual messages for individual circumstances. Now, this is a little cumbersome, I guess, and we'll talk about this. This is our reference point, the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. This is our reference point. But in addition to that, there is another Word of God, and His name is Jesus. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John got that revelation from the revelation that he received, which we call the Book of Revelation. When Jesus was introduced to him, he was introduced to him as the Word of God. It's a little complicated, so I don't want to confuse everybody. But Jesus is the living Word of God. We know that. And the Scriptures are the living Word of God. The Holy Spirit brings the Word of God and the living Word of God to us in individual circumstances, circumstances that we face every day. Just give you one example to get you thinking. I'm meeting with someone, talking with someone out in the community at a grocery store, and in my head pops a scripture verse. What do I do with it? Was that an individual message to me from the Holy Spirit? If it was, what am I supposed to do with it? It has taken me years, I'm going to say more than 50 years, to learn to listen for the voice of God, and when that voice comes, to listen to the voice of God. And there's reasons for that called our soul. Our soul gets in the way. You know me by now. The first part of my soul that gets in the way is my mind. Too much up here. And so when that scripture verse came to me, what does Mike do? Mike goes into his usual form, which is analysis paralysis. What do I do with it? How am I supposed to? When? Why? What? Analyze, 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 and pretty soon the moment is gone. And so Mike has had to work hard at getting the brain out of the way. Not an easy thing for me, because I've tried and had to work at distinguishing what my brain is saying and what the Holy Spirit is saying. Well, I found an easy solution to that. I don't know if it's a good solution. But the easy solution is when that scripture verse comes into my brain, I say it. Yep. And then my mind goes, was that right? Is that the right thing to say? Was that the right thing to say at this time? And the conclusion I've come to is saying the Word of God in any situation is the right thing to do. And just leave the rest to God. He's got to figure it out. And I'll come to a little bit more of that in a minute. So Mike's mind is a problem. For some people, their emotions are a problem. They get tied up with this feeling going on inside of them. Don't want to hurt other people's feelings, or I'm feeling something. And so that may be a battle you have to fight. And the third part of the soul is will. And as you know, when I believe something is right, I get pretty strong about it. I have a strong will. And so I've had to battle that too. But at least I don't have the strong will that says, I don't want to. Although there are times where that has definitely been the truth. I don't want to. And so I have to battle my will. So one of the things, and this is tip number two, the first tip was it takes time. It just takes time and work. Tip number two is to know that God works on timing. Remember the words, in the fullness of time. I've had to learn that. When that scripture verse pops into my brain, it's God's timing. Now, Mike doesn't understand it. That's why I go into analysis paralysis. I want to know why, I want to know how, I want to know what's going on. Now I've learned just to trust God. He's got it figured out. All of this is a setup because he's worked at it. He knows the people around me. He knows the Word of God. Just trust him. Just say it. Just do it. Tip number three is to learn that I need to ask. And yes, I need to ask ahead of time. I don't always do that. Sometimes I'm asking after the fact. I believe that Christians are intended to be proactive rather than reactive. We should be prepared for the day. We should be prepared for the situation. I ask for anything. About anything, excuse me. I ask about anything. If I'm filling out forms, I ask for God's wisdom. If I'm encountering situations out in the world, I ask for God's wisdom. If I'm trying to figure out directions, I ask for God's wisdom, and you all know why. I'd get lost in a what?
I do know.
Yeah, I got lost in the Aurora Hospital this week. It doesn't take much. I ask for God's wisdom in my vehicle. And sometimes I don't ask, and I need a reminder. Don't turn here. I ask for wisdom and answers about my health. I ask for wisdom and answers about sleep. Sleep has been a problem for me, and as you get older, I understand it becomes a problem for some people. And so for months and months and months, I've been asking, when I go to bed at night, give me a good night's sleep. After searching the scriptures, I found no wonder. I wasn't getting an answer. Because what I should have been asking for, according to the Word of God, is ask for rest and peace. So I found this verse, and I went, wow. So now I'm asking for rest and peace. And amazing, it's getting better. the sleep is getting better, even though I'm not asking for sleep. I'm asking for what the word tells me to ask for. And then, of course, there's that verse that has challenged me through years and years and years. He gives to his beloved even in their sleep. But I wasn't getting sleep. So thankful for the word of God asking for rest and peace. The fourth tip is thankfulness. No matter what happens, I spit out that scripture verse, I don't see anything happen, or the person takes a step back, is somewhat offended, reacts to it, no matter what I see, I just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I say that out loud. Not always in front of the person, but as I'm leaving, I will say it out loud because the Word of God tells us to speak words out loud. In fact, the book of Revelation, as you know, begins with the promise to the only book in all of the Bible. He who reads these words and he who hears these words will be blessed. I thought we should read the book of Revelation just because it says we're going to get blessed, and I might do that. But that word reads in Greek is reads out loud. He who reads out loud the book of Revelation will be blessed, and the hearers of that book will be blessed. And I thought, we could just start reading through the book of Revelation, passage by passage, on a Sunday morning. And it may take us 10 years to read through it. I don't know. But it says if we read through it out loud, we will be blessed. Sounds like a good deal to me. So thankfulness out loud. Tip number 4 or 5, whatever it is. 5. Thank you, Shirley. And this is important, so I want to read this one also. This was a hard lesson for me to learn. And the lesson is this. It is not my job to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. It is not my job to get in people's faces about what they're doing wrong. And I know the life of Jesus just demonstrates this as he just blesses people and forgives people and heals people before he even gets into their life story. Over and over again. But it was a hard lesson for Mike to learn. So I wanted to go back to that passage we started with in John chapter 16 and read on verses 8 through 11. And the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me, and concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer behold me, and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. And so what has taken me a while to learn is that when I speak that scripture verse out, or say those words that pop into my head, and some of you know I can be very direct, and some of those times I'm very direct. I don't even know I'm being very direct. I just know that this is what God wants me to say. After I say those words, and I told you this tip before, I quit. I'm not gonna talk about it. I'll change the subject, or talk about the weather or something like that. I just leave that word sit with the person. It's not my job to convince them. It's not my job to argue with them. I don't argue with people. I'll discuss if they have questions or something. I just leave that word, sit with them. So I want to end with something that all of us do all the time, and that is our testimony. We wonder if our testimony is having an effect. I've been in the ministry for over 50 years, and I want to tell you this. Your testimony has an effect. Your witness for Jesus, just living for Jesus, even if it is to be as bizarre as coming to church on Sunday morning, is a witness. People do see these things. How do I know that? Because they tell me. Pastor has this extra little in, I guess, or something. They tell me that they see these things about you. Let the Holy Spirit take that and work that in people's lives. Yes, we'd like to see a quicker response. Yes, we'd like to see a bigger response, whatever, whatever. But the power is not in Mike. The power is in the Holy Spirit and God's Word. That's where the power is. Let God do His job. And so I'll close with another example, thing that I have learned. There have been times when I have not trusted the Word of God, and I have not trusted the Holy Spirit, and I've gotten into arguments with people. Do you know what I found out? Anybody here ever gotten in an argument? Do you know what you find out when you get in an argument? They get mad, and you haven't gotten anywhere. In fact, you've gone backwards. So trust the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. You know what? He's good at what He does. It is to your advantage that I go away. Amen.
Turn to 612, 612. O Master, walk, let me walk with thee.
Master, let me walk with Thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me Thy secret, help me bear the strain of toil, the fret of care. Help me the slow of heart to move by some clear winning word of love. Teach me the wayward feet to stay and guide them in the homeward way. Teach me Thy patience still with Thee, in closer, dearer company, in work that keeps faith sweet and strong, in trust that triumphs over wrong, in hope that sends a shining ray far down the future's broadening way, in peace that only Thou canst give. With Thee, O Master, let me live. Amen.
Tower, Mike.
going to turn to one another, and we're going to sing. In 2000, I was accompanying 18 other kids and high schoolers and a couple counselors to church. 2000, and the song that we sing every Sunday was the key song that was played. And we're going to hear. We're going to sing it two times, and then we can break and do the music. But turn to one another and let's sing our blessing. We're going to have the singing.
space.